I just love the Word of God. It's just powerful and tremendous. Courtney, thank you for testifying. I appreciate that so much. Message from God's Word this morning. We're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, but we're taking scriptures also from the Gospel of John. If this sermon had a title today, it would be Three Really, Really Bad Women Who Met Jesus. Three really, really bad women who met Jesus. Let's read what the scripture says. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout all the cities and villages preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to them of their substance. May God bless the reading and the hearing of God's precious and eternal word this morning. You think about Jesus going around and preaching, you know, this is kind of a terrific thing, you know. Wouldn't it be something to look up the road and see Jesus walking down through Clendenin this morning? Wouldn't that be a terrific thing to just look out and here he comes along? And he's not coming alone. You're going to expect to see Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and Nathaniel and all of the other of the apostles. You're going to expect to see the 12 walking with him. You're going to expect to see some other people with him. But now think about this as he travels along on this road of life, and he's sharing in the Galilean ministry. All around the Sea of Galilee is where he's preaching at this time. And as he goes around the Sea of Galilee, and he's preaching, and he has this crowd with him, you know, there's not any Motel 8s that they're going to get a night to sleep in. There's not any Holiday Inns or Marriott Inns or whatever you've got. None of those things are going to be there. Little old hole in the wall inns, place for your donkey and your cow or something, and maybe straw to sleep on. It wasn't much at all, and the eating accommodations were even less. So as you traveled around, you say, how did they make it? Well, first of all, people did support Jesus financially. I mean, you have to read the scripture. He had a treasure. He had a man that was a head of the treasury, and that man's name was Judas, if you remember. And as he traveled, he said, well, how did they make it? Many of the nights that Jesus and his apostles and disciples spent on the side of the road were just exactly what I said, on the side of the road. They had no bed to lay on. They had no pillow for their head. They lay it on the ground and wrapped themselves in their robes and built a campfire and gathered around it. And you say, what did he do? There were some women who traveled with him. Some wonderful women, best known as Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala. And Mary Magdalene, we talk about her, we think about her. Sometimes I hear her described as a prostitute. I see that on television sometimes. And I hear people talking about Mary Magdalene and talking about her being a prostitute. Folks, read the book. It don't say that. I don't know whether she was or not. I don't know that she wasn't, but I don't know that she was. And I don't want to say that about somebody and it not be the truth, even though she's been dead for thousands of years. Let me tell you, folks, this woman has took a bad rap along that way, but she's one of the important people in the scripture. Now, we're going to talk about three women today. One of them is Mary Magdalene. One of them was a woman that Jesus met at a well in Samaria. And the other one was a woman that they come dragging to him, caught in the very act of adultery. Those were three people, individuals, who met Jesus Christ. And it made a difference in their life. Now, Mary Magdalene, and it keeps identifying her this way, Mary Magdalene was there for the whole show. She was there for everything. In the beginning of Christ's ministry, she was there. She was at the cross when he died. She was standing at the foot of Mount of Transfiguration when he was transfigured. Mary Magdalene saw all the miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus performed when he was here on earth. She was a wonderful person, and she was evermore devoted to the Lord Jesus. She was continuously, solidly with him all the time. And you say, how did they make it? These women were not poor women. I'm sure there were poor women that traveled with him. But these women that were traveling with him were not impoverished people. These were people who had some substance. They had some money to draw on. And they used what they had for the glory of God. What a blessing it would be to be able to hand Jesus Christ his supper. What a blessing it would be to get up in the morning and have prepared his breakfast. What a blessing it would be to walk along behind him and the men as they went down the road and listen to him day after day as he taught. Mary Magdalene, you say, well, she's such a wonderful person. She was there for all that. Yes, my friend. But when Jesus met Mary Magdalene, she was possessed with seven devils. Now, I'm not sure just how we go about that. We certainly do pray against demons and have through the years and participated in casting out demons and that kind of thing. But I don't know if Jesus called them out one at a time and named them, or if he just said, I know you got seven devils and all of you come out. I don't know what happened. But I know this, that Mary Magdalene had seven demons living inside of her. Now, my friend, you say, well, that made her a bad woman. I would say a woman with seven devils in her would be just as bad about as anybody you could think of. You say she's a prostitute. I don't know she was a prostitute, but with seven demons in it, I wouldn't put it past it. My friend, she had every reason to fail. And she had every reason for a holy man like Jesus and holy men like his apostles not even to give her the time of day. It's a miracle, my friend, that anybody noticed Mary Magdalene. Because a woman with seven demons, how would she act? What would she do? Have you ever been around anybody possessed with a demon? Have you ever read about him in the scripture, what the demons did to him? The demons are out to destroy that person. The demons are out to take that person and destroy them. And my friend, I can tell you, watching demons work is a horrible thing to work. I remember one time in the wee hours of the morning, nurses called me from the hospital and said, we've got a person on the floor here that's demon possessed, and we don't know what to do medically for this person. Could you come? And I jumped in the old truck, and it was cold, and my teeth chattered, and I was scared. I was pretty young, and I traveled down the holler and up the road to the hospital, and I prayed all the way and jumped out and run in, and I could hear the demon screaming before I got to the end of the hall, and ran down the hall, and in the name of Jesus, we came against the demons of hell. And you say, is God, oh yeah, God's able to take care of the devil. Don't you worry about that. He's plenty able to do that. I've seen those demons come out of people and come out screaming and yelling and all of that kind of thing. And if you read in the scriptures, the Bible calls them unclean spirits. The Bible talks about how they tore one little boy. They were praying against the demons in him, and his daddy said it throws him in the fire, tries to drown him, tries to burn him, tries to kill him. All of these terrible things. Seven of those demons lived inside Mary Magdalene. I don't know if she was young or she was old. She was a woman of substance and had money. And she traveled with the Lord Jesus and the others. And I look at Mary Magdalene and I look at the society that she lived in. Do you realize Jewish men did not speak to women in the street? You know, I would think it a terrible thing that if I walked down the mall or down the street in Parisburg or Nares or someplace, and I met you on the street, that I couldn't talk to you, I couldn't have a conversation with you. Well, that's the society they lived in. That's the way it was. And women didn't count for much. But when Jesus came along, folks, When Jesus came along, it made a difference. Mary Magdalene must have lived a hard life, because the scripture talks about those demons are in people. It says they were tormented of the devil. They were tormented by Satan's forces and all the things that were going on. And my friend, what a wretched life she must have lived. What a joy it must have been when Jesus came down the road that day to Magdala or wherever she was. What a joy it must have been, my friend, for her to hear those words and those demons in her trying to hold on and trying to grasp her. But you know, there was something that the demons had that most of the rest of the people in that country didn't have. They had knowledge of Jesus Christ. When they met Jesus, time and again, go read it. When they met Jesus, my friend, they knew exactly who he was. In fact, is when the apostles went out, Paul and Barnabas was plumb two or three or four countries away up in Europe, and that girl at Philippi, while the demons began to cry out and say, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? And they said, I know Jesus and I know Paul. Demons recognized. You know why? They had seen him before, hadn't they? They had known him when he was in heaven. When he was with the Heavenly Father in heaven, they had known him, and the demons saw him. Now, I know that it's not popular to preach that people are possessed with demons in this day and time. People look at us like we're some old superstitious, stupid people. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ recognized demons and spoke with them and cast them out. And people in this day and time still live under the influence of demons. I'm convinced, how am I going to step around this? I was going to say, I'm convinced they go to the White House and visit too, but I don't want you all just to mob me or anything like that. What I'm telling you is that the demons of hell inspire the leaders of the world if they can. The demons of hell put notions and ideas into the minds of the leaders of this world. And if you don't believe it, go over to the Revelation when it's reading about the end of time and it starts talking about all the things that's going on. My friend, it says, and the kings of the earth, it talks about the kings of the earth and the kingdoms, Satan gave them his power. Satan shared his demonic power with the leaders of this world. I'm convinced they go to Hollywood and inspire things. I'm convinced they go to the fashion world and inspire things. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you, people will say, the devil in hell. Don't I wish he was in hell? Don't I wish that he was in the fires and torments of hell? But that hasn't come yet, my friend. Oh, it's coming. The sentence is already some time back in eternity when Satan and his imps rebelled against God, my friend, and raised up against God. There was a judgment pronounced against them, and hell, my friend, enlarges its mouth every day. These demons one day, my friend, are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and they're going to be put there for eternity. You don't have to go there. Aren't you glad about that? You don't have to do that. No sentence of death has been pronounced against you that's irrevocable. My friend, you are free to live and to go to heaven. Mary Magdalene experienced the torments of being possessed with a demon. And my friend, you say, and we have seen these demons? Yes, we have. We've seen them come out, and we've seen the people be delivered from them, and we've seen God move for them. And I'm telling you that God is no different today than he was in this day. He is the same God. And God will fight against the demons of hell, and God will overcome them. My friend, when Satan comes against you, you come against him. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And Jesus said, behold, I give you power over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Oh, hallelujah. We know something that Mary Magdalene didn't always know. I've always known that there was power in the name of Jesus over the works of Satan, even as a little boy. But my friend Mary Magdalene didn't know that. Somewhere along life journey, Satan took hold of her life. And somewhere along life journey, he made her his scapegoat and gave her his business to do. But my friend, one day she met Jesus Christ. One day he came to her town, and when the demons that held onto her soul and grasped her life saw the Lord Jesus coming and heard his voice, they had to leave and to go. My friends, you remember the story of the men who lived in the tombs? Actually, there were two of them who lived in the tombs, who lived naked, did wear no clothes and stayed naked, and lived among the dead bodies in the tombs. And when Jesus came, the demons in him immediately recognized the Lord Jesus. And they began to scream, and they said, "Permit us to go into the swine. Don't make us go to hell yet. It's not time." And you know what? Jesus permitted the demons to go into the swine. And there were 1,000 hogs on the side of a hill. And the demons went into the herd of hogs and ran them down through the fields and over a cliff and drowned them all in the ocean. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you that the voice of the Son of God that reached out to those people that were demon-possessed in that day and time is the same voice of God that's here today. And my friend, there's power in the name of Jesus to cast out demons and to cast them away. Mary Magdalene saw all the wonderful things she saw, participated, standing with Mary. In fact, there were probably 4 women named Mary standing beside the cross. Let me tell you something, folks. The women of the church, from the age of the apostles up to now, my friend, have been the instruments that God has used so many times to do the work of God, has done so much for the kingdom of God. And when I look back through the ages and I consider how they had to live, and I looked at what Jesus did for the women of his time, he allowed them to go along with him. I could see where that could have got him talked about very bad. I could see how people would say things. But when he traveled with them, and they used their money and their substance to cook his meals, to wash his clothes. Wouldn't you be so glad to wash the clothes of Jesus that he'd been wearing and doing miracles in? I remember Sister Nellie Mooney talking to me one day, and she was telling me that Sister Gilmer and them were up at Alamo Springs having church on Saturday night, and they went home to stay with Brother and Sister Mooney, and then were coming back to have church the next day. Sister Mooney got up early in the morning before anybody else could get up and slipped into the room where Sister Gilmer and them were sleeping and slipped her hose out of her shoes and carried them in the back and washed them and cleaned them and hung them up to dry so that she would have clean new hose. By the way, folks didn't used to have enough money to have 3 or 4 or 5 pairs of hose and all that kind of stuff. They were poor. And they had been walking in fire the night before, and there was smoke on the hose where they'd been walking but not burned. And she took those hose and with joy and with tenderness washed them out. That's what Mary Magdalene did. That's what these other, Susanna and all of these other women did. In fact, the scripture goes to great lengths to say that there were a good many of them that followed with her. Think about that. Think about all the campfires and the cooking and the hardships that they would have had to have had. And yet Mary Magdalene was one of them. And then there's this story of Jesus going through Samaria. And we talk about this woman all the time. You know the story. I've preached about it already this year. But I've preached about it so many times, how Jesus was going to Samaria from Jerusalem. It's a straight shot from Jerusalem to Samaria. I mean, you just get on the road and the road goes straight up to Samaria. It's not hard to get to at all. It's not hard to do. It's not really all that far to walk. And yet, Nobody went that way. Oh, the Roman soldiers went that way and the traitors and people like that, but the Jews didn't go that way. You know why they didn't? Because the people in Samaria were of a mixed race. Because the people of Samaria were in a mixed religion and they held it against them. They were prejudiced. Oh, so bad they were prejudiced against the Samaritans. They were taught to despise the Samaritans, and in return, the Samaritans hated them. So they didn't speak to each other. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't do anything with each other. And yet came the day that Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria. I need to go through Samaria. I'm sure Peter and James and John looked at each other and thought, we know he's doing great things, but through Samaria? He wants to go through those half-breeds, those false religion people up there. He wants to walk through them. How are we going to make it through there? What are we going to do? We can't touch anything they have. How sad it must have been for Samaritans and Jews. Samaritans lived between the two halves of Israel. Israel was north and south of Samaria. And with the Romans running everything, they had to meet each other. And they snubbed each other and they turned against each other. The story, you know how it goes. Jesus got there at midday. The sun was blazing down in the Middle East. People were burning up. Jesus was thirsty and hungry, just like you would be. He was a human being, folks, as well as God. And he sat down on the edge of the well that his ancestors had dug so many hundreds of years before. And as he sat on the edge of the well, he sent his disciples to buy food. I always wonder who they bought it from, since they wouldn't eat anything that the Samaritans touched. I don't know what they did, so it took them a while to go. But he sat down on the edge of the well, curbing, and there came a woman to draw water from the well. Wells were hand-dug, and they were dug by, they were, water was attained by dropping down a pitcher into the well with a rope and pulling it back up again. This was woman's work, by the way. This is what women did. Women went out early every morning and late every evening, and they drew water for their families from the well. But one day, at 12 o'clock in the day, the well was deserted. No one came. It was too hot. It was too hard. They got the water in the morning and the evening, and during the day, the well was deserted. You know what? That day, Jesus sat down on the well curbing. Here comes this woman. What in the world is she doing there at 12 o'clock? Why didn't she come in the morning like everybody else? Why didn't she come in the evening like everybody else? What's she doing there in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day? Why is she there? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus sat there and talked to her. And he said, would you give me a drink of water? She's dumbfounded. She looks at him and said, how is it that you, being a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan, for some water to drink? He said, lady, if you knew who had just asked you for a drink of water, you would ask me to give you a drink of the living water. She said, evermore, give me a drink of it, and I won't have to come to this well and drink. And you know what? He began to lead her down the path of salvation. He began to talk to her. And he didn't condemn her or treat her bad. He just simply said, would you go call your husband so he can come out here and talk to him too? And she looked at him. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you told the truth. You've had five. And the one you have now is not yours. This woman had no one at the did not go to the well at the time the other women did, because the women of Samaria didn't like her. The women of Samaria were afraid of her and looked down on her. This is a woman of ill repute. Five husbands in that day and time? My goodness. And living with one she wasn't married to then? Oh, my friends, what a horrible thing. What a horrible thing they must have looked at that woman as. And the disciples came up the hill, and he was sitting and talked to the woman, and they were dumbfounded. How is it that he's talking to this woman? How is it that he's doing things with her? What does he mean doing that? And he began to talk to her, and he led her down the road, and she said, could you wait just a minute? Jesus said, yeah, go call your husband. She ran into the town and she told the elders of the town. She said, come see a man. Must have been a longer conversation than what we have recorded here. She said, come see a man that told me all the things that I ever did. And he began to talk with her. And my friend, you know what happened? They had a revival. They had a citywide revival. Everybody in the city came out. Jesus stayed, I think, 3 days with them. And the people came out and the people accepted the words of Jesus. She's one of the first evangelists that ever went out. You say, oh, I don't believe a woman ought to be preaching. You let this woman come along and preach and everybody in town gets saved. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. We're so glad for her, my friend. And this woman came into this gospel story, came in as a Samaritan, came in as a woman of ill repute, came in as a woman that had nothing to offer this world but a sad story, my friend. But when Jesus came to her town and Jesus spoke to her, her life changed. She became a bearer of the good news of the gospel. She became the instrument by which God saved the city of Samaria and Sychar. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful story? And then there's this one more thing that a woman I want to talk about. Oh, the woman at the well always gets the publicity, and this woman too. You say, was this a bad woman? Well, pretty bad. I don't know what all was going on, but she was caught committing adultery in the middle of the day, in the daylight. And the leaders of the town, the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders had got a hold of her. And they come dragging her through the crowd. And they dragged her into the presence of Jesus Christ, who was preaching the good news and the good tidings of the gospel. And as she stood before them, they said, this woman, I've always been mad at these guys. You know why? This woman did not commit adultery by herself. Where was the stupid man? Where was the man at? She's committing adultery. That means either she's married and she's with a single man, or she's with a married man that she has no right to be with. But who was the man? How did they know? How did things like that happen, that you catch people? Oh, they were so happy for their catch. Drug her into the face of Jesus. And they pointed out the Old Testament scripture that said, if you commit adultery, you should be stoned to death. You better hope that they ever, never enact that law in the United States of America. The undertakers will be so busy putting people away that's been stoned to death that they'll never get done. Did you realize that? Wouldn't that be something if that was true? But it was true in that day. They could go back to the Old Testament. And I have to tell you, that was the fear when Mary turned up pregnant and the Lord Jesus was going to be born. That was the fear that Joseph would tell it to the whole town, and they could have incited a riot and drew Mary out of the town and threw rocks at her till they killed her. That was a horrible death. They'd throw you off of a little cliff, and they'd stand there and throw rocks at you till they killed you. What kind of people is that does that kind of thing? Well, religious idiots, that's who did it. And they came out to do it. This woman, they came dragging in the midst. And you remember the story. Jesus asked them, where are your accusers? He began to talk to them. And he said, yeah, the law says she should be stoned. He said, but go ahead, the one of you that has not sinned, cast the first stone. So they sat there and looked at each other. I don't know what Jesus wrote. That's always been a big thing with commentators, to talk about what Jesus wrote. I don't know what he wrote. He wrote something on the ground. And as he wrote on the ground, whatever he wrote was powerful enough that they could read it. And as they read what he wrote, as he looked down at the ground writing it, one by one, beginning from the youngest to the oldest, all of them, elders, young men alike, all of them that had drugged that woman there, every one of them turned and went away and went somewhere else. You know why? There wasn't anybody there that had not sinned. There wasn't anybody there that had not sinned. Everybody there was guilty of a sin. Everybody there was guilty of breaking God's law somewhere along the way. And my friend, Jesus raised up from the ground and said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "I have none, Lord." You know what he said? "Neither do I condemn thee. But go your way and sin no more." Hallelujah. My friend, this woman could have been dead already when Jesus came if they had enacted the law. This woman could have been dead in moments afterwards. But because Jesus looked at her with compassion, saw what a state she was in, he doesn't condone her sin. He doesn't say, oh, that's okay, honey. That's okay. Everybody steps out of line once in a while. And you just probably got your hormones mixed up this month or something. No. Jesus don't tell her it's all right. It's not all right. He don't tell her it's not a sin. It is a sin. He doesn't tell her, well, you just go on and do the best you can. No, that's not it. He tells her, stop sinning. But you know what else he tells her? You are not condemned either. My friend, Jesus came, and here's this woman, Mary Magdalene, possessed with 7 demons. Here's this woman who's married 5 husbands and living with another man, and Jesus has met her. And now here's this woman, caught in the very act of adultery, caught in the very place that could condemn her in this world and in the world to come. And yet Jesus says, "I do not come to condemn you, but I come to tell you don't sin no more." My friend, I remember one time years ago, you remember when Billy Graham was preaching so strong, his voice was so clear and so good, and he would say, "Christ is the answer," in his great North Carolina accent. And you know what? I heard Garner Ted Armstrong on the radio making fun of him, saying, "The answer to what?" Let me tell you, my friend, I'm with Billy Graham. Christ is the answer. He's the answer to the demon-possessed. He's the answer to the immoral. He's the answer to those who stepped out of the way. My friend, Jesus Christ is the answer to the burdens and heartaches and troubles of this world. And my friend, when the day comes that we leave this world, and we will leave this world one way or the other, and I enjoin you today, just be ready to go. And my friend, don't you let no devil in hell, don't you let nobody that you work with, nobody that's in your family or whatever, tell you can't go to heaven because you sin. My friend, everybody in heaven will have sinned except the angels and Jesus himself. Everybody on this earth that's saved and goes up with the Lord when he comes to catch the church away, every one of them that raises off of this ground and out of that grave, my friend, are going to be sinners saved by the grace of God. They're going to be sinners that have done things. Let me tell you something, my friend. If you could only know. If you used to sing an old song around years ago, "Shake Hands with Mother Again." You remember that song? "If I could be standing at Mother's grave when Jesus comes in this cloud, you want to shake hands with Mother again." My friend, if you could be standing somewhere and looking at the graveyard and watch the people come out of the graves, my friend, you'd see murderers come out of the grave. You'd see rapists come out of the grave. You'd see addicts of all kinds coming out of the grave. And you say, how'd that be, my friend? Because they met Jesus. Because they met Jesus and he washes their sins away, forgives their sins and makes them whole. And my friend, these three women, they were bad girls. They were real bad girls, all three of them. They were really bad. They had no reputation. They had nothing except some money and the need to be saved. And Jesus, he on purpose went to Samaria. Jesus did not accidentally cast out demons out of Mary Magdalene. Jesus did not just brush off a woman caught in adultery, but Jesus extended his hand of love and mercy. My friend, Jesus loves you today. Did you know that? If you're listening by radio or CD or wherever you are, or you're here in the church auditorium today, you have not committed any sin. There's none of you here, nobody, no place. None of you have committed any sin that's beyond the forgiveness of God. None of you are so deep any place but what the hand of God, listen, when he reached down his hand for you, my friend, he did it out of love. And when he did it on Calvary. And if you'll look, my friend, just right there in front of you, his hand is extended right now to pull you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay. My brothers and sisters, I challenge you today, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you're not saved, come to Jesus. If you don't know him, come to him. You say, but you don't know what I've done. I don't really need to know what you've done. Do you know that? Confessing it to me is not worth too much, but confessing it to Christ will save your soul. Old boy come down one day. Well, he called one Sunday morning and said, I've done a terrible thing. I've committed adultery, and I need to be saved, and I need to work this out. And can you meet me? And I said, yes, after church is over, I can. But I can't right now. So I met him in the hardware store, of all things. And he come through the front door of the hardware store and fell in the floor and went to crying and praying. And I listened to his story, and he began to tell me. And he started to tell me about his adultery and about who the woman was. And I said, whoa. He said, what? I said, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. Don't tell me who. It don't matter. I don't need to know. And I don't need to know anything else about that son. Called him son because way younger than me. I said, son, don't you know? I know what adultery is. You don't have to describe it to me. I know all about it. But I said, you can be forgiven. And we got down in the floor of that old hardware store where the Amish store is now, down in that old floor, knelt on our knees in that floor and prayed to God to save his soul. That old boy's soul got saved and his life got cleansed. He said, what to do? I said, I'm going to tell you how to get your wife back. And I sent him over to her house with flowers and all kinds of good things and promises and things. And every once in a while I see him and their grown son now. They wink at me as they go by because we know what God did. We know what God did. My friend, I didn't need to know all the details of his sins. I don't need to know all the details of your sins. God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. There's enough blood been shed on Calvary's cross to wash you clean and every single human being on earth. Amen? Amen. How many of you will say, he's washed me with his blood? Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank you today for these three bad girls in the Bible that you saved. Lord, that you redeemed and did not condemn, but changed. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will bless these people as they come to sing and these as we stand to pray. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit, God, will touch each and every one. Lord, if there's one here today not saved, would you touch that soul? If there's somebody carrying a burden of sin listening to this message today, speak to that heart today. Realize that Christ's blood will wash them clean and the Spirit of God will lift them up and change their life. Father, we ask your blessings and favors and mercies In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.